advances or becomes successful. Translation. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Abandoning the association of non-devotees and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. In the first part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. And then he describes how bhakti is a sort of cultivation which is done through the nine processes of devotional service. Hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanting his glories, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord's feet, worshipping the deity, offering obeisances unto the Lord, acting as the Lord's servant, making friends with the Lord, and surrendering oneself fully to the Lord. And he says this should be done under the guidance of a spiritual master. So then, after explaining this and a few other topics, he goes on to explain the different qualities or principles which are favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. And I want to read now directly from Srila Prabhupada's purport about how he explains these principles. It was interesting to note in our during our preaching, we have come in contact with many people who believe in self-management, personal development. What this school of thought is, that one understands one is limited in certain ways, and one would like to do more and would like to do it better. So, and then one can read books on self-development, and they give some many ideas what to do to improve your life. And one of these books I had copied directly from Srila Prabhupada, from the Upadeshamrita. They said, you must be enthusiastic. You must be confident. Also man muss Zuversicht haben. And you must be patient. These are the three principles for success in life. I was thinking, Hare Krishna. Good. So let us now hear, what is enthusiasm? This definition will, at the first moment, totally fascinate you. When I first read this, I was thinking, I could never have said it like this. What would you describe as enthusiasm? To do something with happiness. Krishna Vallabha, what is enthusiasm? It's a good question, isn't it? You want to think more about it? Yeah. Manjulali? Endeavor with intelligence. Manjulali reads our books. Yes, this is Prabhupada's definition. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness. Is called utsaha or enthusiasm. Let us read this again. Endeavor, that means you try hard. Executed with intelligence, that means you think. You know, you don't just explode with so many ideas. In Krishna consciousness, three things must be there. Is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. The devotees find the correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Nirbandha Krishna Samvande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. The execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. These activities must be executed with patience. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly, and in the beginning there was no response. But because we continue to execute our devotional activities with patience, people gradually began to understand the importance of this movement, and now they are eagerly participating. One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness, conscious activities, requires both patience and confidence. A newly married girl naturally expects offspring from her husband, but she cannot expect to have them immediately after marriage. Of course, as soon as she is married, she can attempt to get a child, but she must surrender to her husband, confident that her child will develop and be born in due time. Similarly, in devotional service, surrender means that one has to become confident. Confident, this is a very interesting quality. Confident in Deutsch heißt, confidence in Deutsch means Zuversicht. What does confidence means in Serbian language? Proverenje. You sure? But I don't say it correct. Proverenje? You have heard it, so this is confidence. Now, this is very difficult sometimes to keep the confidence, the Zuversicht. Prabhupada explains what this actually means in practical life, to be confident. The devotee thinks, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. Krishna will protect me and give me help. As already explained, one should not be idle. One should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulative principles. Tat karma pravartana. Neglect of the regulative principles will destroy devotional service. In this Krishna consciousness movement, there are the four rules and regulations. Forbidding illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. A devotee must be very enthusiastic about following these principles. If he becomes slack in following any of them, his progress will certainly be checked. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends, Tat karma pravartanat. One must strictly follow the regulative principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. In addition to these four principles, four prohibitions, called Yama, there are also positive regulative principles, Niyama, such as the daily chanting of 16 rounds on Japamala beads. These regulative activities must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. This is called Tat Karma Pravartanat, or varied engagement in devotional service. It is a very, very long purport. It is very long. I will read Srila Prabhupada's concluding remarks. Since all the devotees of the Lord are under the protection of His supreme potencies, they should not deviate from the path of devotional service and take to the path of the karmi, jnani, or yogi. This is called utsaha nishchaya daryat tatat karma pravatanat. Enthusiastically executing the regulative activities of devotional service with patience and confidence. In this way, one can advance in devotional service without hindrance. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna. Just like a tree can grow in a healthy atmosphere and healthy soil, healthy earth, also our devotional service, our Krishna consciousness can grow when we have a nice atmosphere in our lives, a nice earth or soil around us. In a Krishna consciousness, we should always save these six principles. If we can surround ourselves with these six principles, our lives will become very, very nice. I remember my grandfather, who had one principle in life. He would always tell the truth. He is now gone, but I remember how he asked me to come, and he said, if there's anything I can tell you which has made my life the way it became, be truthful. The only exception is when you are interrogated by Nazis. Mit der einzigen Ausnahme, dass man von Nazis verhört wird. He had an experience of that, so that he could never forget it. When he told the truth, one time he almost lost his life because he was surrounded with these wrong people who were, you know, after him for many reasons. So he lived by these principles, and he lived a very nice life. He did not have so many problems. He was very religious. And he helped me very much in my own development by taking time to explain things which he had realized in his life. Of course, my grandfather was maybe a good ethical person and a moral person who lived by strong ethical principles. We should also live by those, but we are spiritualists. We should more or less see that we can live by spiritual principles which are favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. The first one is enthusiasm. The Sanskrit word enthusiasm tells us a lot about it. It is, the first syllable is ut, which refers to the transcendental Lord who is out of the material energy, and saha means together with. You are enthusiastic if you are together with the Lord in your heart. If you remember him, if you can serve him, if you can love him, then naturally you feel enthusiastic in your spiritual life. It is a principle which must be saved in our lives. Now, to be together with the Lord so that we can be enthusiastic will only work if we can, let me say, remember the Lord throughout the different experiences of our lives. Krishna consciousness is actually an easy thing if we can just remain Krishna conscious throughout our lives. A little while ago, I was in Zagreb and I gave a lecture called Spiritual Survival, and I read a text from Sridhar Swami to the devotees, which was amazing, the devotees. And I think, what, such a text, such a subject. And I want to read it to you today also, but I need to prepare you a little bit so that you can understand what this text really says. There is one verse in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto which goes like this. Most of you will know this verse by now. Tate nukampang susumikshamana punjana evatma kritam vipakam ritvak vapurbir vidadan namaste jiveta yomuktipade sadayapak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. This is such a nice verse. It is so true. It is making such deep spiritual points. It helps us. It is one of the 64 points of sadhana bhakti that because we are suffering so much in this world, you can transform the suffering into sadhana. Our process is extremely practical. The sadhana means the practice is that when you suffer, you just go back a little bit in your mind and think, oh, I'm suffering because I performed in the past sinful activities with my body, mind, and words. And now these reactions come. A devotee bows his head and is not very shocked. He said, let the reactions come. I do not mind. In this way, he patiently allows the reactions to pass his life. He's not beginning to fight against the reactions and to, defend himself. Why me? Why me? Why me? He understands, I must have done something. So let them come and let them pass like the dark clouds. At the same time, he is not just passive and sits in a corner. But he engages his heart, that means his mind, his words and his body in Krishna's service. He thinks, there must be something which I can do. Let me do this. This is also such a true spiritual principle. I was explaining, I believe, yesterday to some devotees, Arthur Schopenhauer's analysis of the greatest mistake of the Western person. It's interesting. He has one analysis, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's analysis, I also would like to tell you. Schopenhauer's analysis is a little bit more for our Western mind. We can easily understand it. Our greatest mistake, says Schopenhauer, is that we constantly think about what we do not have. Oh, this went wrong. I do not have money. I do not have the affection of certain people. I do not, you know, what we don't have. But we must learn to think about what we have. Oh, I am alive. Haribol. I have prasadam, most properly. Haribol. I have some knowledge. Haribol. You know, by this meditation, one can totally improve his life. If you learn this, you can come practice this verse a little bit more easy. That you do not become discouraged by what happens. Even you patiently suffer what happened due to your past misdeeds. But you understand, I have my body, I have my words, I have my mind. I can engage it in devotional service to the Lord. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. In this connection, I would like to tell you the story of the two frogs. They fell into a bowl of cream, and one frog immediately said, oh no, this is the end of me, and drowned. He drowned in the bowl of cream. The second frog said, I can at least swim. Let me swim and see what happens. And he swam, and by his swimming motions, the cream became schlagom. Schlagom means schlagsahne. In English, I think it's whipped cream. And started to race. Like in an elevator of cream. Until it came to the top of the bowl, and then he jumped out and came to freedom. This is what a devotee has to also learn. He has to concentrate on his possibilities, and he will find, or she will find, that at any given moment in this life, Krishna has given us so much. There is never a lack of anything. Srila Prabhupada once was quoting his own spiritual master, who said, there is no lack in this world. The only lack is Krishna consciousness. If a devotee is Krishna conscious, there, even if he falls into a bowl of liquid cream, it means even if it looks very bleak in his life, if he concentrates on his possibilities which he can do for Krishna, instead of lamenting over what went wrong and so on. There's a magic in it, a mystery in it. I remember a half a year ago, from one moment to the next, I was just trying to travel to Serbia by airplane. I became a bedridden, as a bedleggiger patient. I had some back problems. It was really intense. I could not move and so on. And as I was lying in the bed, very much in pain, I thought, all right, should I give up now and become a mental case? I thought, no, let me not concentrate on my back and on my pain and so on. Let me concentrate on what I can still do for Krishna. It was not much. I could chant. I could read. I could pray. And the rest of the time I was not able to do things because it was very painful. Then I thought, after some time, I said, let me try to walk, whatever little walk I can do. I remember it took half an hour to go from where I was staying to the temple in Sri Radha Madan Mohan. But it was a blissful half an hour because I could go at least. I did not need to lie down any longer. And I have seen by this simple experiment, I had read about it before, it really works. If you concentrate on what you have, you change your whole life. After some time, I was running again and dancing again and so on and so forth. If you can learn this simple art in your life, be enthusiastic, save your enthusiasm, then something wonderful can happen to you. And what exactly can happen is explained by Srila Sridhar Swami. He gives an interesting example about a person who simply has to stay alive to make his inheritance. For instance, Adishesh Prabhu has very kind parents, very wonderful parents, who I love very much because they were so good. When I needed a bed, they gave me a bed, and so on. And now these parents will give an inheritance to all their sons. If Adishesh wants to become a rich man, the only thing he has to do is to stay alive, because it is nature's cause that most probably Adishesh will survive his old parents. We hope that this is nature's cause. So this example is given here by Sridhar Swami. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary to this verse which we are discussing that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. It's so simple. Stay alive in Krishna consciousness by avoiding four rules and the four negative things, and by practicing the principles of Bhakti Yoga. The positive principles of Bhakti Yoga are the 64 principles which are explained in Nectar of Devotion. They're very nice, and if you want to know them and discuss them, we will have soon a seminar on this, and you can either come there in person or obtain the tapes. Yes. Krishna. So a devotee should be very happy to hear this information. When something happens, you know, my own karma is coming. It's a little shameful that I always suffer so much. That means I did so much the wrong things. What can we do? I will keep on serving the Lord. In this way, survive in my spiritual life. Now, one important point which I would like to do, while a devotee lives like this, he always prays to the Lord for protection. Srila Prabhupada had explained in his purport that this means confidence or Zuversicht, that you always think somehow that the Lord will protect you. The devotee thinks, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotion service. A devotee should become like a child who is dependent on his father, meditating that, oh Lord, here it is, Please protect me, who am trying to surrender to you. I'm very much afraid of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. Not long ago, some devotees from our Goloka Dham project went to Ahobalam, where we visited Lord Nrsingadev, because we felt that times are coming where we will need his protection more. And it is very, when you are there in Ahobalam, you become very much aware of how much the Lord loves his devotees. When you go from the Ukra Nrsingha temple, which is in Upper Ahobalam, in the mountains, you go about, I would say, 500 meters only. Then you come to the temple of Krodhavaraha Nrsingha. You go inside this little dark temple, and you go inside the cave. It's a cave. First you go through these temple structures, and then you enter the cave. And there you see Lord Nrsingadev in the form of a boar. He has a snout like this, eine Schnauze, a snout, like an extended mouth, you could say. And he has a tail, it's a very long tail, not like ordinary, wie sagt man, Eber, what is an Eber? Boar, not like an ordinary boar, but he's a very long tail, and he has a beautiful body, a beautiful, with a chest, and with a dhoti, and beautiful hands. And this form, actually, is a form of Lord Nrsingadev. When Prahlad Maharaj was thrown down from the rock by Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev took this form of a boar. Previously, the boar incarnation had saved planet Earth and had brought it back. Now, he saved his devotee. He came, and the Prahlad was falling down. I mean, it was when you see this rock, it's a huge, huge. It goes like, oh, so high. You're not free of swindle if you just think about this rock, and if someone's standing up there, you go like, ah, it's enough. So from there, the Prahlad was thrown down. They wanted to kill him, these demoniac servants of Hiranyakashipu. And Lord Nrsingadev found this out. He heard this, and he came, as Varaha, just picked him on his snout, then brought him back. It was not yet time for him to reveal his transcendental pastime of killing Hiranyakashipu. So he just brought Prahlad back. There are many, when you go through this sacred area of Ahobalam, there are many, many such little stories which you may hear for the first time, explaining how Lord Nrsingadev really cares for his devotees, protecting them in difficult situations. So as you go through your life, you should at every step try to pray for the Lord's protection. This is the point. You have to pray, because it is a dangerous environment, the material world. Someone who thinks, no need to pray, I will make it on my own, has not really understood the situation in material life. The material illusion works like a slowly effective poison, which poisons your understanding. A devotee who's a little bit in illusion, he thinks, oh, why pray all this? Why pray this? I can go through my life without help of the Lord. He does not, or she does not, realize that this world is a world where at every step there is danger. It's a foreign atmosphere for us, with many unfavorable influences, especially of tamagun and rajagun, which pull us away from an enthusiastic execution of devotional service. So the devotee should always try to protect the Lord. But I would say, after having said so far, the greatest necessity for a devotee who wants to stay alive in Krishna consciousness is to have a meaningful association with other devotees. And I want to read to all of you now, or discuss with all of you now, a wonderful festival, a festival which was performed in Khituri Gram. By Krishna's mercy, I have a very nice text here, very authorized. And there you can find out how important the association of devotees is and how much strength it can give. And how, if there is a good association amongst devotees, Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, can manifest himself personally there. You know, Narottam Das was a prince. His father was called Krishna Dutt, I believe, Krishna Dutt. And, but he became so much desirous to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he did not really, you know, he could not stay in his household life. His heart was burning every day with the desire to see Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu had left the planet, but he felt so much desire to see him. It was not possible for him to live the life of a ruler. He was constantly crying, constantly thinking of Krishna. He wrote his heart in a beautiful work called Prarthana, where when you read this work of Narottam Das Thakur, you really begin to understand what is bhakti. It's so important for each devotee to read Prarthana. Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot understand bhakti without reading this work. It is not possible. There, it's a mixture in this work. One section is where he laments his fallen state, having taken birth in the material world. Then there is a division where he thinks, where he calls out for the most merciful incarnation of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and so on. And then there is a section where he says, when will I move before Radha and Krishna and throw flowers so that they can walk over the flowers? When will I see them dancing on the platforms in Vrindavan, their moon-like faces reflecting a prema bhakti? And he's praying like this. So he stayed for a long time in Vrindavan. His father died and his family died. But his nephew, Santosh, became the next king. Now, at one stage in his life, Narottam returned to Khituri Gram, that's the village of his birth. And it's described how Santosh Datta was standing before the village looking, when will he come? When will this ecstatic, transcendental personality, my nephew, come? And then after waiting for some time, he heard Narottam will come back. After waiting for a long time, he saw this person on the road. You know, there was an effulgence around him. He was chanting Gaura, Gaura, Gaura. He was sometimes laughing in transcendental ecstasy, and he saw how he was coming closer. Santosh felt so much ecstasy. The hairs on his body were standing erect. My nephew is coming. He is a devotee of the Lord, a great devotee. So a few days later, Narottam Thakur initiated Santosh with the Radha Krishna mantra. Raj Santosh had previously wanted that a temple be built and a deity installed. Now he begged at Narottam Thakur's lotus feet for his permission. Narottam gladly gave his approval. Within a few months, Raj Santosh Datta had seen to it that a large temple was built. The temple compound included a big storehouse for food. We can learn from this, Vishwadev. We are not yet complete. We must have a big storehouse for food. A kirtan hall, a residence hall and ashram for devotees, a bathing pond, a beautiful flower garden and a guest house. We have many of these things already intact. On the full moon day of Falgun, on the festival day of Mahaprabhu's appearance, the temple was dedicated, the deities were installed, and a great festival, which can only be compared to the Rajasuya Yagya of Yudhishthira Maharaj in its vast expansiveness, began and was celebrated for miles around. During this festival, which we will hear now, the six pairs of deities were installed. Invitations were sent out to all the devotees who existed at that time. There was, of course, Govinda Kaviraj, Srinivas Acharya. From Orissa came Shyamananda Prabhu. From Koradoha came Sri Janava Mata. Sri Janava Mata had a few thousand disciples, and she came with all of them. So the king saw all these many groups of Vaishnavas coming to the river, which was before his village, Keturi Gram, and he had a very large boat constructed. Adishesh Prabhu, it must have been a boat two times as long as this temple. And he invited the different groups of Vaishnavas to come in this boat, and boats meant they were rowed across. Gradually, they all arrived in Koturi Gram. King Santosh arranged a colossal boat to carry everyone across the river. On the other side of the river, he had arranged for palanquins, ox carts and other conveyances to carry the devotees into Keturi Gram. This we might... We have a rickshaw already. We can drive devotees with a rickshaw into the temple. But he had palanquins arranged. Zemfte. How would you feel being carried in a Zemfte, Gaurachandra? With many, four devotees, you know. Oh, you eat so much cake, Gaurachandra. it was very... They were really serving Vaishnavas. All the people in Keturi Gram were engaged in serving Vaishnavas and bringing them in their places. Yes, and they got all their own separate houses and servants and so on. In this way, Keturi Gram became a place of pilgrimage. The people had really engaged, had decorated the whole town. All the big gateways and ornamental arches in the city, as well as the doors of the houses, were decorated. And as a decoration, they used the six-pointed star and the swastika. Hare Krishna. And then they built a huge festival stage. And before it, they placed mountains of food in all kinds of earthen pots and big silver vessels. They had gigantic containers filled with milk, ghee, yogurt, and water pots. Now, the day before the installation ceremonies, the devotees on the order of Sri Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, who organized everything. She was a great organizer. We will hear a little later about her qualities. That evening, they began the preliminary celebratory ceremonies by performing Sankirtan, after Narottam Thakur had first offered Chandan and flower garlands to Sri Janava Mata and properly worshipped her. So Janava Mata was worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. Thereafter, all the devotees were decorated with garlands. And upon the request of Sri Narottam and Srinivas Acharya, Sri Raghunandan Thakur sang them Mangalacharan, the auspicious invocation. Do you remember Raghunandan? He was a pujari. He lived in a village where there was a tree which produced every day a beautiful flower for his worship of the deity. It was an extraordinary Parijata flower from heaven. Ooh. So Raghunandan was also, he was the son of Mukunda Datta. He sang the Mangalacharan, you know, started. Mangalacharan is before you start a festival. Maybe we should chant it also on Nityananda's appearance day. It creates an auspicious vibration. On and on, into the middle of the night, the devotees performed Sankirtan in order to make the atmosphere auspicious for the great festival that was to follow next day. After chanting and dancing, into the middle of the night, the Vaishnavas finally took rest. Many thousands of people anat Mahaprasad that night on the eve of the great festival of Kitori Gram. You know, we are now one day before Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. In the narration, in actual life, we are also one day before the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. So the next morning, the installation ceremonies began. The leading priest was Srinivas Acharya. He performed the Abhishek of the six deities. You know, there is a period in the Abhishek where the deity's eyes are covered with wax. The deity is not yet seeing anyone or seeing anyone. And then the Acharya, the leading Acharya, comes with a golden stick, and he goes with the golden stick and removes the wax from the eyes of the deity. And then the deity has his first darshan. At that time, auspicious things are presented before the deities, like a tulsi flower, a tulsi plant, a cow. It's very, when we were in Ahobalam, every morning they present a cow to the deity of Lakshmi Nrisimha. They come with a cow. Actually, the cow comes on its own. He doesn't need to be told, or she doesn't need to be told. She just comes to Lakshmi Nrisimha, and then she turns around and shows the behind to Lakshmi Nrisimha. And sometimes she makes an auspicious pile, because the cow dung is considered to be auspicious. It's very purifying. Hare Krishna. That's amazing, isn't it? If you think about it. So different auspicious, an unmarried girl who still has her virginity intact is also considered to be very auspicious. Kumari, these girls are called Kumaris, and Bhagavatam, and a pair of cartels. All these things are auspicious. They were shown to the deities whose eyes were open. And then they had different speakers. This what we are doing now, to narrate an auspicious event, this was very much done in the Vaishnava tradition. They had speakers who knew to speak so nicely that no one could fall asleep. They were telling of previous festivals, of times when the Lord appeared. And in this way, the atmosphere became totally inspiring. Mm-hmm. And then the different devotees filled the four directions with the ecstatic sounds of the holy name of the Lord. So then the six deities, if you want to know their names, Sri Gauranga, Sri Vallabhikanta, Sri Krishna, Sri Brajendra Mohan, Sri Radharaman, and Sri Radhakanta, they offered all manner of wonderful preparations of bhoga in different pots. After performing kirtan and dancing in great bliss, all the devotees, forgetting their material bodies, fell to the ground offering prostrated dandavats. It must have been a very nice kirtan where all the devotees just fell to the ground. Please accept my humble obeisances. It was a very moving experience. And then after this, Srinivas Acharya offered the prasadam sandalwood pulp and the garlands to Janava Mata. Thereafter, he gave garlands and sandalwood pulp to all the devotees present. We can just imagine, they must have had like a huge swimming pool of chandan and taken it and spread it all over the heated bodies of the devotees to give them cool, to cool them. They distributed sandalwood pulp and garlands to all the devotees present. And then they were finished. On the order of Janava Mata, Sri Nishinga Chaitanya Das decorated Srinivas, Syamananda, and Narottam with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. Gradually, all the devotees took their seats in the kirtan hall. You know, the devotees were there, all decorated with flower garlands, looking like fresh moons in the kirtan hall. Janava Mata was seated on an elevated chair at the front of the hall. And Janava Mata looked around. She was sitting in a high chair. And then she had an idea. He said, Narottam, all the devotees here would like you to perform a kirtan. Please, we know that your kirtans are special. We have, up till now, we only heard about it. Can you please sing a kirtan? Now, those of you who know Narottam Das Thakur's kirtans, they know what will come now. It will get very ecstatic. See, Narottam Das Thakur, just looking at it from the musical point of view, has developed his own musical style, which is called the Manoharshoy style, isn't it? Is this correct? Manoharshoy. And all the Ganahati style. I think it's Manohar. Garanahati? The Garanahati style. It's a style which no one can sing at this present moment any longer. It is much longer, the beats and the time, than the other styles. If you hear, let me sing for you one song. Paramakaruna pahundujana nitai gaurachana. This is how we usually sing. So Narottam Das Thakur would sing it like this. I can't really sing it, but it goes like Parama. This is the first block. And then comes the second verse. Karuna. It takes a long time. Karuna. It's drawn out. One line which is this big and takes this much time in Narottam Das style is from here to there, to Vishakha. If you can understand it. And when this is heard, when you hear it, a certain mood develops in your heart. You are drawn forcibly from the external platform where you see the world with your senses and see material sense objects around you and so on. You're drawn from this and you develop a very deep mood of separation. You understand, I'm a soul. I'm separated from Krishna. Where is Krishna? This is like the mood which develops in your mind. And he started to sing this. And listen what happened then. Shri Narottam Thakur Mahashay began to perform kirtan. Shri Gauranga Das, Shri Gokul Das, and Shri Vallabha Das responded, and Devi Das played the Madanga. These were the team of Narottam Das Thakur. The sweet and wonderful kirtan of Narottam Thakur, with its sweet tune and unique style of voice, filled the four directions and the heavens above, causing all the men and women to weep tears of prema, and they all sported in the waves of the Vaikuntha ocean of ecstasy. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his personal associates, joined the kirtan. Now you must know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared already from the world, but when this kirtan was going on, he was pulled from the drawn from the spiritual world, and he actually appeared in the kirtan. He started to dance. Everyone could see him, not just a few selected insiders. No, it was for everyone. Bhakti Ratnakar says, "Who can describe the wealth of happiness felt by the devotees when in the midst of their kirtan appeared the munificent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself? Like a flash of lightning in the midst of a mass of beautiful clouds, Sri Chaitanya himself appeared with a crowd of devotees through divine manifestation." I believe the Bengali must be the word avesha. He came in an avesh form and was all of a sudden present. He brought his eternal associates, who had all disappeared with him, into this beautiful kirtan hall, and they danced in the large company of all the devotees. It is described that Achyutananda, who is the son of Advaitacharya, all of a sudden saw, "Father, Father, you are here." And Advaitacharya with his beard was there, dancing and laughing in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. And Achyutananda started to dance with his father, and they swirled around, and the devotees were crying tears of joy, because Advaita is so old, but he danced so nicely. This is how it became. How overwhelmed in ecstasy were Advaita and Nityananda. How wonderful was the circle the devotees made around Sri Chaitanya, who danced in its middle. Srinivas Acharya Narottam Thakur fully understood these pastimes as the wonderful manifestation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy. It was an act of grace shown to Srinivas Acharya Narottam Das Thakur. With this, their satisfaction was complete. Yes. And what happened next, we will read tomorrow. I will. This needs to be told. Then Sri Janava Mata offered the deities some red powder. Also, when we went to Ahobalam, we had a lot of red powder with us, and we put it on the forehead of the Lord, decorated him here and there and everywhere. It is done. So after this, she was smiling, Janava Mata, and, you know, tons of red powder all of a sudden appeared from everywhere. It was distributed amongst the devotees. kirtan started, and they started to throw each other with these holy colors. I've always wanted to do this, but I believe, first of all, it needs to be done at the holy dham. And then it may be most practical to do it outside of a building, because afterwards the building looks like all red and blue and so on. So when the evening came on that same day, the bathing ceremony began. It was conducted again by Srinivas Acharya, and the devotees sang the Abhishek song for Mahaprabhu's appearance ceremony and celebration. Yes, this is very nice, but I will stop here, because otherwise it becomes too long. But the reason why I was trying to explain it is to tell you how auspicious festivals can be. They can attract the personal attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can appear in some ways. We are now approaching the sacred day of Nityananda's appearance day, and we also want to make such a nice festival for his pleasure that we can feel something at least of his presence. Let me summarize my lecture so far. In this lecture, I was trying to explain how a devotee has to stay alive to become the rightful inheritor of Krishna consciousness. A devotee can stay alive by sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness and by understanding that the misery in his life or her life which comes is just a reaction to his or her past activities. In this way, the devotee can stay happy and enthusiastic, performing with his body and words and mind devotional service and concentrating on the possibilities which one has. We were hearing about six principles which are favorable for the execution of devotional service, principles which you have heard many times by now and which I do not need to repeat in this learned assembly of devotees. And then we talked about another principle. As we go through our life, we should pray for the protection of the Lord at every step, that this works out, my Lord. I'm trying to do this for you. Please, if you desire, let it become a source of your pleasure. And then a devotee should cultivate a serving mood with devotees, especially in a sacred festival and so on. I think all of you remember how nice the last festival was. I felt a great reason was because devotees were participating very nicely in all the things. When you hear the holy name, please don't stand around like a tree which trunks in the earth. Try to fix your mind on the sound vibration. Meditate deeply about the sound of the holy name and sing it loud as you can. When you see devotees, please do not see them as problem cases, but as big, as great, potentially great souls who just need a little bit more inspiration in their lives to turn into self-realized personalities, and serve them in this way. And another thing is, please try to help in the festival. Understand that we are doing this festival for the pleasure of Lord Nityananda and of Srila Prabhupada, and give your best, bring your contribution, don't be shy to give your service and so on. And yesterday I made a terrible mistake which I have to correct. I said Everyone, please do some service. 1 hour or 2 hours is enough. It is not enough. I made this mistake. I'm very sorry. I'm always so naive in my life when it comes to management of things, because I've always been floating on the waves of the festival. Maybe next time I should go in the kitchen and serve there. Preaching is easy. We need to have all your help to make it beautiful. Please know, when you give your service for Lord Nityananda during these times, you will definitely become liberated from the material world. Vrindavadas Thakur says, anyone who observes the two festivals of Nityananda's appearance day and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, he will certainly go back, develop love of Godhead and go back to Godhead. This is the blessing for everyone who observes these festivals. So we are one day before, isn't it? Friday is Nityananda's appearance day, no? No? Yes. I'm already so excited, I'm losing all the memories of when it starts. So tomorrow, and please, today is our big chance to build a huge festival stage with many clay pots of yogurt, 6 deities, and so on and so forth. At least, maybe this is a little impractical, but we have already a tent. At least a tent we have. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions regarding these points? Adi Shesh Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yes. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called Utsaha or enthusiasm. Please let me, because you are asking this for further clarification, let me tell you my own understanding about it. When I joined Krishna consciousness, I was extremely enthusiastic. You wouldn't believe. When we were in Schloss Rettershof, I was singing from morning till evening, and I was criticized, I think rightly, because I was so loud. I was always singing so loud everywhere. No one could concentrate on his life. You know, please, it's nice that you sing, but a little softer, please. And I was sometimes very enthusiastic, and I did many things wrong. I did not really think. It was like, it was coming out like this. Later, when this came out, it came first out in photocopies. We were so enthusiastic at that time to read Srila Prabhupada's books. When this was not even printed, it came out in the photocopies of the typewritten manuscript, and it was a secret manuscript which the nectar hunters were chasing after and finally getting, paying with maha sweets and everything, you know. And I remember reading this: endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, enthusiasm. And my realization after reading this was that intelligence, you know, the function of intelligence is to give your life a direction. In which direction would I like my life to go? The intelligence can discriminate between a favorable life and an unfavorable life. So with the intelligence, we can think about our lives and make this discrimination of this part of my life needs improvement. This seems to be a good direction. Let us continue here. So when you are enthusiastic like this, Adishesh, where you have a direction in which you want to go in your life, and you do this with full Krishna consciousness, that's the real meaning of enthusiasm. If you do not have intelligence, or do not use your intelligence, everyone has intelligence, that comes with us like the hairs on the body. The intelligence is there. But if we do not use it to clarify the direction, our enthusiasm might not bring us in the right direction. We might feel stagnated in some ways. And clear understanding of one's mission in life and duties in life is extremely important, and our intelligence can help us. And then we can be enthusiastic. Let me go this way, full head. And remain enthusiastic. But it must be in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Shashika. Thank you for bringing this up, Srila Prabhupada's one of his principles was really yukta vairagya, to use everything which could be used in Krishna's service, even the things which appear to be material. A devotee who becomes enthusiastic to serve Krishna, he looks around and finds what can he use in Krishna's service, and he will find many ways, many things. A car is needed to serve. A kirtan group is needed to serve. A pullover is needed to serve in this winter time. A nice temple is used to serve. Mm-hmm. Yes, this yukta vairagya principle. In order to practice yukta vairagya, you really need intelligence, Adishesh. You know, what can be used and what should not be used. It is. Good. So I feel it is a little late. It's 9:30 now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi go nitai ki jai. Go premanandi hari hari bol.